7th Avenue Pizza, the official pizza of the Soda Pod.
The Soda Pod, the official beer and hockey podcast of 7th Avenue Pizza.
Hello, college hockey fans, and welcome back to another episode of MNCAA. It is episode number 106, and it is a playoff primer episode, at least for this conference. There have already been a couple of conference rounds happening across some of our other teams that we cover here, which means we're starting not with the Big Ten this week. We're starting with the NCHC, a couple scheduling conflicts. So show's going to be in a bit of an order, but Max Veach, welcome back, my friend. And yeah, it's been an interesting weekend of college hockey, and we don't really have to look far to maybe some ones that drew some bigger eyebrows around the state of Minnesota than the NCHC itself.
Yeah, first and foremost, I haven't started off the show in quite some time, and getting to do it with a smile, it feels like a nice little treat that you're giving me here. So I'm waiting for the gut punch that comes later, but you know, I'm gonna take it while I can get it. So I'm ready to get into it.
Gut punch, Max. I think you're smiling, and I think you purposely gave that that verbiage to me, because really the only team that received the gut punch were the Huskies this weekend. St. Cloud, man. You know, there was weekends where if you're the Huskies after the season that you've had up and down that we talked about last week, you had to have both of these if you wanted to feel comfortable, right? And yeah, although this wasn't, as Noah Grant would say, the death blow, it certainly has put them in a situation where if you're St. Cloud State, you're not just having to win this weekend, but pretty confidently you're going to have to make it to the championship game in St. Paul in a couple of weeks, or else your chances of making the dance are pretty slim right now.
Yeah, I don't even know if a split would have even had them in any better position. They might be at like 14 or 13, but even then, you're still sitting behind those other teams. I strongly believe that you'd still be behind Western, Omaha, and CC. So you may have climbed one spot in the rankings, but you'd still be in the same boat. So yeah, you're absolutely right. If they wanted to feel any sort of comfort level, they probably needed to sweep there, and they weren't able to do it. UMD, for the second year in a row, finds a way to sweep St. Cloud. I think they split on the year in total for sure.
They UMD did, yep,
loses out on total points because one of theirs was an overtime semantics battle, however you want to look at it. But yeah, no, it was what I expect out of a series like this. Hard fought games in every sense of the word. Not as many penalties as we're used to seeing out of these two, which I personally liked a lot. It was enjoyable to watch the hockey actually get played, and a few mind games going on between coaches and people on the ice. So yeah, it had a little bit of everything. So yeah, pleased with it overall.
And Max, I want to start with Friday nights because that's the first day that these these two came together, but more so, you know, when you're at least on the St. Cloud side of things, if there was a game that you're going to go back to, if their season ends early, and say, man, this is one that really got away from us Friday, a 2-goal lead heading into the third period. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying they're playing perfect hockey, but you put yourself in a position, if you're St. Cloud, to close out a hockey game, a team that you're facing UMD, although, you know, they haven't, shall we say, given up on games in the past, but you kind of figured, okay, this team has struggled this year, we should be able to close this out. That didn't happen. UMD came back and were able to win in overtime. And, you know, on the flip side for Duluth, you talk about a character win. This would probably be the definition of one, and it came at a pretty good time towards the end of this regular season.
Yeah, I mean, that's as good of a summary as I could have ever said, and you did it much more eloquently than I could have done as well. So
it's, you can pay me after the show, bro. Come on.
Yeah, no, I think you're absolutely right. Personally, I thought the Dogs were kind of dead in the water after period one, and it was just kind of a matter of, oh, man, I'm just going to watch this and see how the season ends here. I mean, we knew we were going to have another week, but in all senses of hope would have been gone out the window there, because they were giving up, you know, another goal in the waning seconds of a period ending there. And it's just a tale that we've seen six, seven, maybe even eight times this year with UMD, and they just keep doing it over and over again. But you mentioned it. They battled back from two separate two-goal deficits. And both of those coming off of, you know, one was a really stupid penalty and one is just a normal penalty. It always happens anyway. But regardless, they give up, you know, two goals on three penalty kills, and it's just backbreakers. And it wasn't even that they had a bad game in terms of taking penalties overall. Each team only had three. It was just St. Cloud was, you know, much more opportunistic in capitalizing on those as well. So, yeah, UMD just had to kind of figure out a way to stay in the game long enough. Lohite scores that late goal to push it into overtime. There was an interference call on St. Cloud, and then you get exactly what you would expect. I mean, the story kind of writes itself there. It's Steve's on a power play game-winning goal. There's no other way to kind of have it happen for UMD. And it was great to see. Steve's has been an Achilles heel. I think he scored a natural hat trick against St. Cloud last year. And, you know, we'll get to Saturday as well, but a couple goals in the 4-point weekend this year, or this weekend. And it's just a storyline that I've enjoyed quite a bit, but yeah, I can see how the other side would be a little bit frustrated. And he was just finding ways to get open. And you could see that there was a concerted effort to put physical play and bodies and everything else on him throughout the weekend. And it did work. I mean, he was on the bench getting worked on a couple of different times and got back out there and found ways to get open and capitalize when he had the opportunity. And Friday was one of those, and Saturday was another one. So yeah, as far as Fridays go, I would say that one was, for UMD anyway, limiting penalties was crucial to their success. And it was great to see a highlight we haven't talked about yet. Zach Sandy, it was his first technical start for UMD in an actual game that counts, not an exhibition game. And he got his first win. So it was a good team game. Shots were pretty close. I think St. Cloud, you know, still had the upper hand in that one as well. But you know, overall it was
well, Veach is speechless for
I am speechless. I'm trying not to be too optimistic and glowing because there's obviously things that can be fixed there. But you know, Pionk, there's another one. He ends up having a really nice night for them as well. I think it was 3 points there. Fisher would have also had a 3-point night. Here's where I'm going to have a sour point. Here is where I sour on the Friday game. The disallowed goal for goaltender interference is the most absurd thing I have ever seen in my life. It's a play that you see at all levels of hockey over and over and over. A guy cutting in from the corner as he's coming in. Two defenders, at least, you know, we'll just say at least one, but two defenders pushing him towards the goal. So he's got to go through the crease, tries to stuff it in. He doesn't even turn the goaltender. He just puts his stick towards the net. Goalie makes the first stop. The puck is sitting out front. Fisher comes back in, finishes it off, and scores a goal. I don't know that I have ever seen a goal like that even reviewed, let alone overturned for goaltender interference. So I was, you know, posting that it was such a reach and this was just delaying the game. It was unnecessary, this, that, and the other thing. And then I'm sitting there, you know, eating crow that they took the goal off the board, just dumbfounded. And that was the second time, I guess technically the first time because it was the first period, but that was another time where I was like, oh, this is just going down the drain. UMD has no shot. There's, you know, every time that they see something good, you know, something bad happens right after. But ultimately they came back, battled, overcame it, whatever, and found a way to get the overtime win and those crucial 2 points. Well, that's not crucial to them anymore. For confidence, it is a good win for them to get the momentum going.
And for St. Cloud, despite the fact you lost in overtime, that one single point, you didn't know this at the moment, was going to be a lot more important than maybe we would have liked. Because on Saturday, a bit of a different story there, Max. Again, St. Cloud, just again, for whatever reason, just could not put a team away. And explain to me this, Max. So the one thing that Noah pointed out, who is working... and can't make it to the show. And I know you were chomping at the bit to be able to challenge Noah this weekend. But, you know, the PK for St. Cloud, really, I think, and I don't disagree with him, if you want to put it on special teams, that was the one area that St. Cloud probably needed to be better in. I don't think anybody would disagree with that. But at the end of it, St. Cloud again. I think they took the lead initially Saturday and then still relinquished it. And this is the trend I think that's concerning for most Huskies fans is, you know, yes, UMD's had a tough year. We have beaten that dead horse win enough times, but they're still in the NCHC. They still put out an effort, and to see the Huskies fall twice to UMD with a chance to more so get some confidence. I'm not saying that UMD's a pushover, right? It's been a right. down year for UMD. And between you and I think anybody listening, I don't expect that to continue next year with some of the talent you got coming in. I really do think this is just an off year for UMD. But
yeah,
with that being said, UMD took care of business again on Saturday night, and it really puts St. Cloud, sort of as we talked about pre-show, in almost a similar boat, if not the same boat, as the Bulldogs heading into the NCHC playoffs. And all came to a close on Saturday, and UMD winning it in regulation. Max Feach, take us through the Saturday statistics, because unfortunately for St. Cloud fans, not much different.
Yeah, I was kind of shocked. UMD, you know, waited to have their senior night until they're facing St. Cloud. I guess they've done it for the last couple of years in a row, so I shouldn't have been shocked at all. It was just par for the course. But, you know, senior night, seven seniors and graduates are counted in there as well. But a lot of them showed up and showed out for this game as well, and, you know, played really, really well. Thiessen being included in there, and I'm going to highlight him first. And the stat that jumps out if you're looking at the box score of this, UMD has 27 shots, which is fine. It's not good, certainly, but it's fine for a college team. St. Cloud puts up 54 shots, doubles them up, and Thiessen had 52 saves on the night, and some of them, he had a nice Superman save, a couple incredible efforts near the end of the game there to hold on to the lead, and I don't know that I've seen him play better this year, and that's not a dig at him at other points this year. I think he had a 47 save game earlier this season already against Minnesota. But that's just a glowing record or something that he should be incredibly proud of. And it's great highlight tape. It would be pretty surprising for me anyway, if he's not starting their next game next weekend in Denver, just based on what I saw on Saturday here. So shout out to him, shout out to the defense and putting some of those shots, you know, in tough spots and blocking a couple of things here and there. But yeah, I would say that if I was going to give anybody the MVP of the game, it would certainly be him. So, you know, you've got your first goaltending start in Friday's game with a win, and maybe a highlight start for Thiessen's career in a Saturday win here. So goalies showing out for UMD, which has not been the case very often throughout the year, but it was very, very nice to see. But on top of that, yeah, you're absolutely right. UMD gets out to a early lead. I think they had two goals first, but I'm misremembering.
You're right. It was 2-0, then St. Cloud battle back to tie it.
Yeah. Okay. So surrendering those two goals at the end of the second period was another point in the series where I thought it was just a backbreaker, because it was two goals in the last minute and 9 seconds of a period that UMD was just going into a break in what is, you know, your senior night game where you want to be having a really good showing for everybody and yourself. A lot of these guys might not be playing, you know, much of a career after this. And so it's like, we need to be battling back. And they put themselves in a really tough position, ended up overcoming it. But giving those two goals up is not really going to be a winning strategy in playoff hockey, which starts next weekend or this upcoming weekend by the time you're listening to this. So yeah, that was tough. I don't want to see any more of that if we can avoid it. I would prefer, if you're going to give up a goal in a period, do it at the beginning, do it in the first 12 minutes, even 15 minutes, even. I don't care if it's that late, give yourself a shot and a little bit of a breather to kind of overcome it and skate it off and not let those nerves carry over into the next period. But, they found a way to do it. This game also included another lengthy review. I think it was like 7 minutes by the time it was actually over with, by the time it was scored. Jeez. And something this is the infuriating part about my brain is I equate this to like football. In football, when a referee calls something no touchdown, it blows my mind. I'm like, just call it a touchdown because you have to review it and then you will ultimately get it right one way or another. And when they don't do it, you don't have the option to do it unless somebody challenges it. It's a whole thing that I don't think you should have to go through. Same thing in hockey. This goal was, you know, waved off for high sticking, and it was close enough where it should just be called a goal. Go back and review it after, and if you need to take it off, take it off. But instead, they force Sandelin to use a coach's challenge to look at it. Ultimately, after, like I said, an incredibly lengthy review, which ruins the flow of the game, and I think it would have been reviewed on both sides. It doesn't matter, but I'm using it for my soapbox to stand on right now. it ruins the flow of the game and should have just been counted to
That's
begin with.
We're getting a workout this year, man.
Yeah, I know. but yeah, it was another one of those games, specifically with the shot differential. UMD, and now that I'm on the reference train here, started with football. Now we're going to go to Pokemon. If you're familiar with Onyx, an early game Gen 1 Pokemon battles, it uses that stupid move Bide, where it just sits there and takes damage over and over and over again, and then it throws it back at you. UMD did that all throughout the third period. They only had 4 shots, and they scored on 2 of them, and one of them was an empty net goal. So they just sat there and took shot after shot after shot, blocks and saves and whatever. They just took an onslaught from St. Cloud, and then ended up just capitalizing when they needed to, and, you know, unleash. I don't know if there's a specific phrase there. Goes Pokemon knowledge out the window. I just have that little bit there, but that's what it reminded me of, and it was incredible to see. That's not, again, something that we've been treated to much as UMD fans this year, but it is similar to how they've won a lot of games in the past and championships in the past. It's not those high scoring nights. It's just capitalizing and surviving throughout, you know, other teams when they're on. So good to see. And then, you know, we already mentioned them earlier. I just saw it right before we started recording here on Monday. But Pionk and Steve's both named NCHC defenseman and forward of the week. And, you know, 4-point weekends for both of them. It's pretty easy to see why, especially with some of the other showings that we had throughout the NCHC. So really good to see those guys get recognized. Steve's again, and I think Bianc for maybe the first time. So yeah, good weekend overall for me.
Right. It's interesting when, you know, we were covering this on the Huskies Warming Us podcast and really looking at St. Cloud's really down then up and then down season. It's been a really weird season for the Huskies. It really has. Yeah. You know, their non-conference record was not great. They got that bye week, and then when they got to NCHC play, Max, you know, what's I think more polarizing to me is at the holiday break, they were sitting in first.
Yeah.
And hadn't lost NCHC game in regulation. I think they were 7-0-1, if I remember correctly.
Yep.
It's been anything but that since the holiday break. And the one thing that scares me the most is last year after Dylan Anhorn goes down after essentially an off the ice injury, right? The team was certainly disrupted from that. They haven't had that this year. They haven't had, you know, an injury where your lineup's been forced to either figure some different things out, and it just hasn't been that way. And why do I bring this up, Max, is because here we are. It's playoff hockey, and both of us, the two dogs, after a dog fight up in Duluth, are going to have to really battle for themselves to get into a better spot. So
for sure,
let's take a look and set the table here for the final NCHC regular season standings. Again, North Dakota winning the Penrose last weekend. They stay in first place, even after being swept by Omaha. Omaha, what a rise to the occasion they have been in the past couple of weeks. Holy cow.
I want to talk about them, and we'll get to it when we start previewing these other games. But yeah, they are playing at a different level right now.
Yeah,
and I'm not sure that the rest of the nation realizes it.
No, well, the pairwise, well, we're going to touch on that too. So 49 points for UND, Denver leapsfrog St. Cloud at 45. St. Cloud and CC technically 41 points, the tie. St. Cloud gets the tiebreaker for regulation wins. So CC, the last home seed, Omaha, just 1 point back at 40. Western Michigan, 37. Duluth, after a 5-point weekend, up to 28. Miami still at 7. We'll just leave it at that. But the big thing is the pairwise, right? This is where St. Cloud really took a hit this weekend. Well, the aforementioned Omaha, we're going to start with them first. has risen sort of what CC did, right? So St. Cloud drops. They're technically tied for 15th, but they're in the 16th slot behind UMass, Western Michigan at 13, Omaha at 11, technically 12th, Colorado College at 11, and then, of course, Denver at 3, North Dakota, tie for 3, we'll say 3-4. Yeah, so you've got five teams in the NCHC that are in a position to be an at-large bid for the tournament, and here we are, us two, sitting on the outside looking in. So, Max, before we get to what I think will be in a very short show, is a pathway for either of our two squads. Let's chat about Omaha, because when we talked to Nolan Sullivan at Media Day, and fantastic human being, by the way, Eden Prairie native, you basically say, hey, we believe in this squad. We feel like we can do some good things.
For sure.
And at the end of it, you know, we expect some different results this year. That didn't really happen for the first three quarters of the season. They gave teams fits, but sort of what CC did last year, they just didn't find themselves in the win column. Yeah. Since the beginning of February, this team has been good, and they play a physical, kind of a grinding style of play, but they're getting the offensive support, right? You talk about a sleeper team coming through the NCHC Frozen Faceoff coming up. This might be that team, Max. I don't know. What's your read on the Mavericks?
Yeah. I said this about Colorado College probably a month ago, maybe even more now. But now I'm going to say it about, Nebraska, Omaha. They are the hottest team in college hockey right now. They only have one regulation loss in their last 12 games playing in the most difficult conference in college hockey. Whew. So yes, there are some ties in there, which whatever, like I still consider that a non-loss, as you should. And that just shows how they've been able to catapult so high and so quickly, all the way up to 11. So having them play against the other hot hand in the NCHC or in college hockey even is going to be the premier matchup. I know it's not, technically neither of them are top 10 teams. So it's weird to say that the premier matchup is two non-top 10 teams, but I would say that those two are in a dogfight for trying to get into a maybe even a 3 seed. You could theoretically climb into a 2 seed for NCAA if you go on a really nice run here. But yeah, I would say that they're going to have a heck of a series in front of them there, and neither one of them are technically going to be, out of the race should they lose this. I would say if they want any sort of a hope, they would need to go to a game 3 at a minimum, just to kind of maintain their spot. They're certainly not going to climb if they lose out in the series there. But if they want to maintain their spot or sit at that 12 going into the last couple of weeks there, some, like you had just mentioned before, some of the other conferences are already ahead of them, so they're going to have a tougher time to climb past them in the pairwise. They're going to need to go to 3 games if they want to have any hope. If you get swept, you're probably done for the year, but you still get to kind of watch and have your fingers crossed. And if everything else goes your way, there's a shot, but it's much more slim at that point. So yeah, winner advance and potentially move your way into a 2 seed in one of the regional tournaments there. And that's a heck of a lot of incentive for both of these squads, both, Colorado College likely going to their first NCAA playoff since 2012, I think. I don't remember what it was.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Over a decade, yeah. And so it's going to be very, very fun. And that's something that I'm certainly going to be keeping my eyes on.
Yeah, that is probably, if there's a series that is going to have a lot of eyes on, I think that UNO and CC series might be the most intriguing. Both teams, again, as you mentioned, near the cut line. So again, wins are important. But like you said, I think if it goes 3, it doesn't move them up. It doesn't maybe shrug them down, but it does not put them either in a very comfortable spot, no matter what. As opposed to our teams, right, Max, again, Miami, North Dakota. I don't know what Noah Grant's thinking. There's just no way Miami is making that any bit of a guess. I can't see it. I it's not that I don't want Miami to do it. I just don't think they're capable, right? I think I would love to see, especially, and here's the other thing. If you want another reason, he's getting swept by Omaha. They're going to be salty, right? They're going to be salty a little bit. So I can't see that going past two. Now for our two squads, St. Cloud and for UMD, We're in the same boat, as we mentioned before. I think the one difference is that Duluth has to win the NCHC Frozen Faceoff.
Correct.
Now, granted, if you do that, you're in no matter what. Right. For St. Cloud, getting to the championship game with the pathway that they have most likely is you get through Western Michigan, which, mind you, they're not super comfortable either. They're at 13. So yep. These games mean a lot to the Broncos, too. And then if all the top seeds per se do make it, and even if UNO upsets CC, you're still likely having to play a very good Denver squad. And Max, we talked about this off air, is that might be the best case scenario for St. Cloud.
It is.
Because it's not that Denver has played differently, but they have as well, right? You know, the last couple right. of times that they've had essentially a tournament lock, which they are this year, they're going to be at worst a 2 seed. Yep. Let's just say that the NCHC Frozen Faceoff, at least how it appears to us hockey aficionados, they don't appear to be playing for the NCHC championship, but it does look like they are looking at the bigger prize per se. Although I'm sure if you ask David Carl, he probably wouldn't answer it that way, but right. to our eyes, it certainly doesn't seem like they look at that as, you know, a game that they really are pushing for. So if they can get that matchup with St. Cloud, it might be the best matchup to get them to the championship game. Your thoughts on what both of these teams have got to do to get themselves back into the tourney?
Yeah. First, we'll go St. Cloud, Western Michigan. You nailed it on the head. It's, you know, the loser there is absolutely dead in the water. Western Michigan has a little bit more leeway in terms of like making it a little bit further and still climbing high enough where they could glide the rest of the way. St. Cloud, you're going to have to climb above that 14. You need to get to a 13 seed, I think, in order to make it into the NCAA tournament. So, I think that both of them need to make it to St. Paul for the Frozen Faceoff. I really think St. Cloud needs to make it to that championship game.
Agreed.
And fingers crossed, if they're predetermined to lose there, they lose to a North Dakota or Denver, one of those three or four seeds, depending on where they're actually at that point, in the pairwise rankings, just so it doesn't hurt them that much either. I think that's the path for those two teams. Western, make it to the championship game, make it to the St. Paul. St. Cloud State has to make it to the championship game. You mentioned it as well. UMD, they have to win to get in. I mean, if they win, they might be able to climb up into technically that 16 spot, which would go to somebody else anyway. But you just get your conference championship position in the NCAA playoffs. That's the only place that they're going to get there. And, you know, climbing would require a heck of a lot of losses from some of these other teams early in their conference tournaments as well, which isn't going to happen. So that's the only way our two squads are going to get there. North Dakota, Denver, they're in no matter what. They're dropping to at worst a 2 seed. Miami, you mentioned it. I don't think they have a shot, which is tough to say. We already saw Bowling Green release their coach. I've got my eyes on what's happening in the other part of Ohio there with Bergeron. I don't think that he's disliked there, especially by the players. I think this, you know, the university likes him. It's just a matter of if they're going to keep him around, and if so, for how much longer. We've already talked about the hot seat a little bit there as well.
And they've had a recruit recently flip its commitment to.
Correct.
I think one of their bigger defensive commits, if I recall correctly, going, I think, to Arizona State. Did I read that correct?
I believe so. I would have to look up the name again, but all of the other parts of that sound correct. And I've said this on the podcast before. I can't blame guys for wanting to go to ASU. You go tour that facility and see, you know, some of the other people on campus, and it intrigues you a little bit more than Ohio.
And now for a hockey sense, you're going to be in the NCHC now, right?
Yep.
Now, granted, I think it's fair to say, Max, and this might be a postseason topic that we'll have to revisit, but I think that first year is going to be a bit of a struggle for Arizona State, adjusting to essentially playoff hockey night in after night out, weekends to weekend, right? I think that will be an adjustment for them, and it will put a lot of their fans to a big piece of duct tape over their mouth now that 24 wins apparently means something, and just that stat. But to be fair to them, they're not the worst team, right? They're not the worst independent. Right. They clearly are the best. But again, the competition that they've faced, I think puts a giant asterisk on that win-loss column. And well, put up or shut up, right? They're going to have a different looking crew next year. And who knows, maybe they might surprise somebody, but I still think it's going to be a bit of an adjustment for the Sun Devils going into conference play, which granted, you got to do it at some point. So that's fine. But for UMD, right, let's kind of roll through the punches here. What is you as the UMD fan? What are the chances you get by Denver in the first round? It's a tough task. I get it.
Yeah, oh yeah.
But it isn't impossible. It isn't impossible. I think you're going to need Thiessen to do what he did against St. Cloud.
Yes.
Probably not for two, but probably three games. I hate to say it, if you're going to be honest. And yep. Ben Steve is going to need more at even strength and not just the power play. That's just my take. What's yours?
I think you're probably right there. I did not get to have the chance to see if Rizzo is back already yet, or if they're just going to wait until playoffs to get him on the ice again. I didn't look at the score sheet for them this past weekend there against Colorado College when they split. I didn't see him on the scoring sheet, so that's the only reason why I didn't think that he was starting there. If he's out again, I think UMD has a little bit better of a shot. That being said, they were swept by Denver when he was out earlier this year as well. So hard to say that that's going to play a huge factor in it. But it certainly doesn't hurt when a guy like that is out of the lineup for UMD's chances to win there. If I had to put a percentage to it, call me crazy, but I'm going to put it at 40-60, which is, you know, still not 50-50, but pretty high if you look at the overall records of these.
Not 90-10, you know.
Yeah, and where they sit. And the only reason I say that is, you know, the first loss they had was a 4-5 game, and it was really close the entire way. Obviously, a one goal game at the end. It was insane. And then they lost 2-5. But in that 2-5 game, I think there were two, if not three, goals scored in the last minute and a half, just given penalties and empty net goals and everything else that came across. It was another close game as well. So you get a couple of, you know, good bounces or a hot goalie like we saw this weekend against St. Cloud. And it can happen. UMD is better on the power play. They're better on the penalty kill. Terrible on faceoffs. Technically, UMD has the better goaltender, especially if Thiessen plays the way that he did this weekend. They block more shots. They're more willing to lay their body out on the line. They just don't score as much. So if they can get a goalie that stops pucks and they can just capitalize on their average scoring rate, I think they'll be in all of these games. I can't say confidently that they'll be moving on, but they've got a shot too. I really do think that UMD has a shot, as they've shown. I don't think that they've been quote unquote blown out in any of their games against quality opponents this year, with the exception of maybe two of them. But they've grown as a team, and I think that this past weekend gives them a lot of confidence going into next weekend, given that they're going to have some similar play. So again, not super confident, but I think that there's enough there for them to work with that if they execute well, they can get past them. And if you get past Denver, you probably have North Dakota waiting for you as that number one when they reseed everybody in the frozen faceoff. But it just, you know, once the train's rolling, who's going to stop you? It's just one of those things where you only need to win one game at a time after that. So
exactly. And then for St. Cloud, Max, I think, honestly, St. Cloud probably doesn't have a better first round matchup than Western Michigan.
Correct.
I don't think Omaha or CC would have been better for St. Cloud. I really don't. They both have given the Huskies everything they could handle. They have not been on the best side of that matchup. Whether as, like you said, at the top, 3-4 could have had easily 4-4, depending on where Cameron Rose's glove was during the camera angle if they had it.
Yeah.
You know, so, but here's the thing, St. Cloud, penalty kill has been not great. So I think you need to stay out of the box as best as you can, which, as we review every single week on this show for the NCHC refs, isn't always the easiest to do, even if you think you're doing the right thing. Yeah. Number two, I think St. Cloud, for whatever reason, they got to find a way to just close out a hockey game, right? Again, we saw it this weekend, 4-2 ahead of UMD going to the third. If you're a team that's got tournament aspirations, you can't let that slip away. I don't care how it happens, right?
Agreed. So
I have reasons to be hesitant with St. Cloud. But again, I think they match up best with Western Michigan. And I think if they're able to get the job done 2-3 games, I don't care. If you get your chance at St. Paul, then we talk like we talked about before. If you can get the other top seed to do what we think they should be able to do, which doesn't bode well for your side of the equation, Max. But if it does happen, then likely you face Denver. And we talked about before, I think there is a shot there. We'll see what happens, right? But anyway, it's not an easy road. Max, to kind of close out the segment, at the end of it, you know, we're probably predicting too far ahead here, but NCHC, 5 or 6 teams in the tournament.
Oh, it won't be 6.
I think it's going to be 5. I think so too.
I would be hopeful it's 5, just given where it's at right now. I'm just looking at the pairwise really quickly, and Michigan climbed pretty high. If Providence loses early, UMass loses early, thank God. Personally, I don't have anything against UMass. Thank God Maine was able to sweep them at home this weekend, just because it saves a little bit of breathing room for those teams that are above the cut line right now. But yeah, Providence, UMass, then you've got St. Cloud. Cornell could easily sneak in there and win the ECAC. I don't think that that's out of the question by any means. Then you've got frisky teams in Hockey East, like New Hampshire, Northeastern, who I don't think can pass any of the NCHC teams, but they could certainly win that conference as well and take up another one of those spots. So if I had to put my money on anything right now, 4 teams from the NCHC, I wouldn't be surprised at 5. I would be elated, ecstatic, and shocked if 6 ultimately did make it, just given where everything sits right now.
Yeah, it's tough because we don't have a CCHA team up there in the top 16 either. They're going to have a spot. Right. Likely Bemidji State, but you never know at this point, right? Either way, yep. That's why, you know, when we talk about the cut line, you know, that's why it's important, because upsets in the other conference tournaments, that could take up another spot. Really, as we talked about it in the preseason, you need to be somewhere in the 10, 11 to feel really comfortable. And even then, 11, you're still not, shall we say, guaranteed a spot there. So
yeah, it's tough. I just don't want I don't want a Colgate situation, and nothing against Colgate specifically, but I don't want a blowout in the first round of the NCAA playoffs. And
no,
they're going to happen eventually, but I don't want it to be one of those things where you know what's going to be a blowout. I don't want the goal differential to be set at, or the line to be set at 5 goals going into it and just knowing that it's going to be a slaughter. If Bemidji makes it, I think they can play with a lot of these teams, and they can shock some people like they've done in the past as well. And any of these other teams that we mentioned that are at that, you know, 17-20 in the pairwise, they make it in there, they can battle as well. But those random one-off, you know, hero runs to the NCAA playoffs, they're a great story, but man, does it make for some bad hockey once you get into the first round there. So I'm hoping for good hockey in the playoffs.
So what Max is saying is, Colgate, stick to making toothpaste. I think that's all we can say. Yeah, do what you do best and leave the hockey to us here in the upper Midwest. No, I kid. Yeah, and like you said, sometimes those Cinderella stories are kind of fun to watch. But like you said last year, a lot of really lopsided first rounds. Try to avoid that. Yeah. We'll see what happens this year, right, Max? Again, Huskies and Bulldogs, it's do or die for our two teams in the NCHC. We're still a pathway to get to the Frozen Four, although not an easy one if we're asking both of us honestly. But speaking of a pathway to the CCHA, which is next in a very jumbled episode of NCAA, only one team is going to make it there. Will it be one of the, well, two teams that are left? It's not going to be St. Thomas. Will it be Minnesota State or Bemidji State? We're going to talk all of that next year in NCAA.